I'm Jimmy Evans, and this is the Marriage Today Podcast. On this season of the podcast, we're highlighting one of my favorite teaching series. Marriage on the Rock was first printed in 1994 and has helped millions of couples since. In Marriage on the Rock, we cover what it takes to have a successful biblical marriage. In today's episode, I'm talking about sexual fulfillment in marriage. Enjoy this teaching.
God created marriage in a place called Eden, which means pleasure and delight. And remember, God created Adam and Eve naked, without any shame whatsoever, and so that they could enjoy the physical pleasure that God created them for. Sex is a thermostat and a thermometer. And let me explain what I'm talking about. In your marriage, you know, in your home, you have probably a thermostat in your home. And when you turn the thermostat up or down, it actually controls the temperature. And so sex makes marriage better. When you're having good sex, I mean, it enhances the marriage relationship. It's not everything, but it's a very important feature in marriage. And so when you're having good sex and you're having sex frequently enough that you would say you're satisfied, it just, you see your partner's body as your Eden. That's literally why God created Eden where he, you know, as he did marriage in Eden, is your body is my place of pleasure and delight. And so I associate you with good feelings. I associate you with actually the most pleasurable feeling in my life, and that makes marriage better. But marriage is also a thermometer. The thermometer in your home just shows you what the temperature is. In other words, if sex is bad in your marriage, you're probably not communicating. You're probably not processing anger well. You probably have a lot of stress and you have other issues in your marriage. And the poor sex in your relationship is just showing you, you have other problems. And so sex is a thermostat that makes the marriage better, but it's also a thermometer that shows you if you have problems. Now, our problems in marriage, when we have them, they need to be dealt with. According to the Journal of the American Medical Association, 43% of women and 31% of men said they had one or more chronic sexual problems. And so almost half of women and a third of men say that they had some kind of a sexual problem. It's also interesting that most of the sexual dysfunction that couples say they have is actually not sexual dysfunction. A lot of it's based on comparison, is thinking that other people are doing things that more than they are, and they begin to feel like that they're failures when they're not. That's an interesting thing. But listen to how different men and women are related to sex. The number one problem that women have is the lack of desire. You know, for whatever reason, it might be physical, it might be hormonal, it might be stress or whatever it is, but a lot of women have a lack of desire in the area of sex. The number one problem that men have is premature ejaculation. Isn't it interesting how different our problems are in the area of sex? And to compound that, we literally live in a very deceived and a sex-crazed culture where we're getting a lot of misinformation about this area. So I want to begin by talking about three truths that we need to understand about sex. These are just three things that just kind of create a foundation for sexual understanding. And the first is so important, and that's this: God created sex for pleasure and lifelong enjoyment in marriage. And the main thing I want to say is God created sex. Our God is a fun God who created sex. The devil didn't create sex. You know, a lot of times Christian people can get so hung up on the issue of sex. In fact, when I speak about sex, like in marriage seminars and things like that, you know, sometimes people just get, you know, real tense. You know, it's like, what's he going to say? I'm going to say a lot. And I'm going to make you sweat. I enjoy it. My kids say this is the grossest part of the seminar. It's not, hear their dad talk about sex, but the devil didn't create sex. Your genitals were created by God. And he created sex enjoyable because he's a great God and he's a fun God. And when he watches us have sex, because he does watch you have sex. Turn the lights out. He can see anyway. Put your flannel nightgown on. He can see anyway. So, and we have this, because when you say that, God's watching you have sex, like, oh, don't watch, you know. But God is not, you know, watching us having sex saying, oh, you people are enjoying that way too much. Oh, I didn't have that in mind. Hey, cut that out. What? I wanted you to do that three or four times for children. That's what some people believe. And see, the devil exploits that, because what the devil says is, God's a big fuddy-duddy, and if you want to have sex and or you want to have enjoyment sexually, you have to come to my side, the dark side, to enjoy it. Now, let me tell you something. God wants you to enjoy sex in marriage and to have that enjoyment for the rest of your married life. It's very, very important. So don't get it in your head that God's against pleasure in sex and marriage. God's for it. He's the one who created it. The second thing that you have to believe is that God put the parameters he did on sex for our protection. In other words, the Bible, there are some things the Bible says that we shouldn't do sexually. Adultery, fornication, fantasy, lust. The Bible just simply says that it's wrong. Well, in my car, I've got an owner's manual. And in that owner's manual, they tell me a lot of things not to do. You know, they tell me things to do and things not to do. But they say, don't drive it like this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. I've never taken the owner's manual of my car and read it saying, what do they know? They're just trying to keep me from having fun, you know, and, well, change the oil. What do they know? You know, and the people who wrote the instruction manual for my car know they want me to enjoy it, so I'll be a customer again and come purchase another one of their cars. And they created it. They know how it works. God created wide parameters sexually. There are many, many ways that we can have sex in marriage and enjoy sex in marriage. But God created a fence. And when he says don't do something, he's trying to love us and protect us. He's not being a legalist, he's being a protective daddy. But the yard is a big yard. It's not a tiny little yard that you have missionary position sex 3 or 4 times and get it over with and you're grossing God out. It's a big yard where God says, go play in the trees and the bushes and jump on the trampoline and swim in the river and the lake and just don't go over that fence over there. And so you're saying, what can we do in sex and marriage? A bunch. You can do a whole lot. And so what I'm saying is get your Batman uniform out and have a big time. And I said it. I told you I'd make you blush. I just didn't know I'd make myself blush. Anyway, so, oh, isn't God fun? He's so fun. I love God so much. Here's another truth you have to believe. God created the sexual differences in us to make our relationship more fulfilling and dynamic. We're very different sexually, and you say, why did God do that? To make the relationship more fulfilling and dynamic. Let me talk about some of the differences between us sexually, because you know we're very different sexually. We're two halves of a whole. When you're relating to your spouse properly, your world comes together. I have half the brain, Karen has the other half. Together, we're brilliant. Separately, we're not so brilliant. I have half the world, she has the other half the world. Together, we have a whole world. Separately, we don't have the whole world. We're two halves of a whole, but we're different. The old saying, if you're both the same, one of you is unnecessary. We're different. We fit together. Men, sex stimulates our emotions. With women, emotions stimulate sex. We're the exact opposite. A woman becomes more sexual as her husband becomes more romantic and emotional. When we come into her world emotionally, she comes into our world sexually. That's her response. But for men, when women become sexual, we open up to them emotionally. Men are never more emotional than right after sex. Sometimes because it's been so long, but I shouldn't have said that. But truly, when we have sex with our wives, that's when we're most emotionally vulnerable. You get to our emotions through sex, and we get to your sex through emotions. What it is? Isn't it interesting the way that God made us so different? And you say, well, why would God do something like that? Well, first of all, God rewards character. In God's world, character. People of character have the greatest sex. It's interesting that women, when women are asked when their husband is most sexually attractive to them, one of their major responses, either number one or in the top there, is when he's doing housework. Men think, you know, you buff up, get a tan, unbutton your shirt, get a gold chain, strut around the house, you know. She says, grab the vacuum. That'll do it right there. And listen, God wired women where they become aroused when they see a sacrificial man. Remember, women are not as visual as men. Is God rewards character. And men are aroused by a woman who is their friend who gives them honor and respect. Nothing is more attractive to a man than a woman who is honoring us and praising us and coming into our world. And when women honor their husbands and become our friends, and that's, God rewards that.
Hi there, Jimmy Evans here. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to talk to you about something important, mental health. You know, life throws us all sorts of challenges, and sometimes we need a little extra support to navigate through them. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a platform dedicated to making therapy more accessible and affordable. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, depression, or just feeling overwhelmed by life's pressures, therapy can provide you with the tools you need to thrive. That's why I'm proud to partner with BetterHelp. Their team of licensed therapists is ready to listen and help you on your journey to mental wellness. And the best part, you can access BetterHelp from the comfort of your own home. No more waiting rooms or scheduling conflicts, just quality therapy tailored to your needs. So if you're ready to take the next step toward a happier, healthier you, I encourage you to visit betterhelp.com/marriage today. That's betterhelp.com/marriage today to get started today. Remember, Better H-E-L-P is just a click away. Thank you to BetterHelp for supporting our mission here at Marriage Today.
So let me talk about five ingredients to sexual fulfillment in marriage. Number one, commit to meeting your spouse's sexual needs in a committed and faithful manner. Again, 1 Corinthians 7 says when we get married, our bodies belong to each other. Not a license for abuse, but a license for use. You never use your body to punish your spouse. This is your place of pleasure and delight, and it's yours. I'm so thankful for Karen. Karen has never used her body to punish me or withdraw from me, and she has been faithful even through the difficult times of her marriage. She's always been faithful to meet my sexual needs. About 20% of women are more sexual than their husbands. But let me just say this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's more sexual. The only thing that matters is that you say to your spouse, I'm committed to meeting your sexual needs. I will faithfully meet your sexual needs for the rest of our life. It might be my need. Now, I'm not going to sin. I'm obviously not going to violate my conscience before God. But again, there are many ways that we can please each other. There are many ways that we can enjoy sex in marriage together. I am committed. You will never not have your sexual needs met because of me. I will be a faithful partner. You're more important than anything else in my life except for Jesus, and I will faithfully serve you sexually. Number two, ingredient of sexual fulfillment in marriage is communication of your sexual needs and allowing your spouse to communicate. A lot of times this is the issue that we just can't talk about, and it's, you need to talk. What is it that you like? What is it that you dislike? Sex was one of those issues for Karen and me before we had our vision retreat that we never sat down and talked about that much. We just get in bed and have sex and just, you know, no pun intended, just kind of feel things out, you know. So we would, but what happened, it was frustration, you know, is that we were having sex, but we weren't verbally communicating and saying, yes, I like that. No, I don't like that. Yes, do this. No, I don't do that. It was just frustrating. So at one of our vision retreats, we just sat down and talked about sex. And we said, listen, what is our vision for our sex life? What do we believe that God is saying about our sex life? And we took sex and made it an open topic where we had plenty of time on our vision retreat just to talk about, let's talk about sex for a while. And we talked about my needs, we talked about her needs, we talked about things I like and don't like, we talked about things that she liked and didn't like. It was the greatest discussion we had ever had, and it changed our sex life because we talked about it. Again, don't be ashamed of this issue. It's an important issue in your marriage, but you need to verbally communicate, and you need to both be in agreement. And if you do and you get in bed, you're going to have a great time. If you don't, if you're not communicating, a lot of your communication is just going to be through, you know, not saying things, but just kind of pushing your spouse away and being negative, and they're going to take that as rejection. So talk about it and communicate what you want and all that. Number three, commit to sexual purity to protect the integrity of your marriage. Sexual purity. Say, I'm committed to being sexual pure, and this is a big deal. Let me talk about some standards of sexual purity. If you're going to be pure, here's what you do. Number one, I will not allow fantasy lust or lust for another person in my life. I'll take my thoughts captive. The most important thing sexually is your thought life. pornography, temptation, those kinds of things, it's not centered in your sexual organs. The only way you can overcome sexual temptation is to take control of your thoughts. You can't take thoughts out of your mind. You can only replace them with greater thoughts. Biblical meditation, according to Psalm 1, promises that we will succeed in everything that we do in our lives. And so the first commitment is, I'm not going to let people in my mind that I'm having sex with. I'm going to battle, and I'm going to take control of that. Number two, I will not develop an inappropriate emotional or sexual relationship with another person, regardless of the condition of our marriage. Now, let me say this now, and I don't want to say this in a legalistic manner. I think it's a great idea for couples to have a Facebook account, that you sit down together, and that on the internet that you're very accountable, and that what you're doing is done in the presence and with the knowledge of your spouse. And maybe your spouse always can't be present, but I believe this was in England, and this was in the newspaper in England. We ran it in one of our marriage day letters. There was a couple cheating with each other on the internet. And they were in different places in their home online cheating with each other. And they didn't know it. But finally, they arranged a get-together. And they showed up at the same place at the same time, and they divorced. When they found, you've been cheating online? Well, so have you. They divorced. But you know what was happening? They were on there saying, you know, to each other things that they weren't saying to each other physically. They fell in love with each other on the internet when they were falling out of each other, out of love with each other physically. Kind of an interesting dynamic there. You can have the password to every computer or phone I've got. Nothing I'm doing is hidden from you. And let me just say something. If you don't have the password to everything your spouse is doing, there's something wrong with your relationship. I'm not hiding one thing from you. Number three, I will turn the unmet needs in my life to God and trust Him for the answers. I'm not turning to sin. If we've got problems, I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to turn to God. You can't blame your spouse for your sexual sins. Even if your needs are unmet, sin is a choice that we make. We can be pure. We can turn to God. Karen, you know, in our sex life over the years, Karen prays about that. She takes her sexual issues, and I do too. I have my relationship with God is, I talk to God about it. He's my very best friend, and He's my safest place in the world. I talk to Him about everything. Everything. There's not a thought in my mind. I'll be praying and I'll have a bad thought and I'll say, Lord, you know that thought that just came into my mind. And I talk to Him about it. Bring it all before the Lord. He knows. His throne is the throne of grace. He cares. He's not grossed out by it. And He'll help you to deal with those issues. But if you don't take it to God, it's going to go somewhere else. Number four, I'll be honest and accountable about my temptations. And especially those that could compromise my marriage. Maybe that you're struggling with pornography or something like that, is that you need to get help. You need to become accountable. In a book called Intimate Issues, it was written by two Christian ladies that we've had on our television program, Christian women, 90% of Christian women say that they've been attracted to someone other than their husband. 90% of Christian women, I've been attracted to somebody other than my husband. Well, let me just say, we all have been. I have been, Karen has been, we all have been attracted to someone other than our spouse. That's not the issue. The issue is, what are we going to do about it? Especially when our marriage isn't as good as it should be. Especially when we're going through problems. I'm going to be accountable. I'm not going to find a group of people that will tell me what I want to hear. And I'm not going to go off into darkness and do something wrong with it. I'm going to be accountable and sexually pure. And number five, I'm not going to be close friends with people who are violating the covenant of their marriage. I'm not going to have friends. Sometimes you'll go to the office or, you know, you'll be with a group of friends and they're committing adultery. They're going to strip bars, men and women going to strip bars. They're doing things like that. I'm not going to have friends like that. My friends aren't perfect, but my friends are committed to the Lord. And my friends don't do that kind of stuff. Or at least they're not, practicing those kind of things and giving approval to it. So those are the things that are going to make the difference in your sex life of whether you're pure or not, because we know adultery and sexual sin and pornography and things like that, it devastates a lot of marriage relationships. Number four, foundation of sexual pleasure in marriage. Create an atmosphere of sexual pleasure. create an atmosphere. Work hard at making your marriage pleasurable sexually. Romance outside the bedroom, especially important for women, that you romance your wife, that you meet her emotional needs, that you pursue her. Have a date night every week. Every week have a date night where you romance your wife and you take care of her emotional needs. Plan sexual encounters on a regular basis when you have the most time. You plan sex, and especially when our kids were young, Karen and I planned, our code word was being together. Is, are we going to be together Tuesday night? And being together means we're going to have sex. And so we'd say, Tuesday night, we're going to have sex. She said, okay. That meant we're going to prepare for this. You know, we're going to make sure that we're not too tired. We're going to make sure that we have the time. We're going to make sure the kids are taken care of. And by the way, we had his night, her nights, and my nights. We would say, is this your night or is this my night? What does that mean? Because my nights are different than her nights. Some night time we had our nights, but a lot of times. And so if it was her night, I knew what to expect. Okay. And I came in prepared that I'm going to focus tonight on meeting her needs in her way. We're going to have sex, but it's going to be different than if I have sex my way. And so we had, that's what we did. And we were creative and energetic. You can think about it as long as you want to, but I'm just saying. But we both got our needs met. That's the thing I'm trying to say. It wasn't all my way or her way. And sometimes it was just our nights. But you know, the longer we were married, the more we enjoyed the same things. But we had special times. Sometimes morning is the best time to have sex. Sometimes you're just having a quickie. Sometimes you're just having sex and it's a quickie and that's all it is. And you go on. But sometimes you need a longie. And you need several hours to be together. And you need the time to enjoy each other, to talk, to, you know, to share sex and to please each other physically. And so you can plan those things. In fact, it needs to be planned. It needs to be, you know, a weekly issue in your marriage to where, you know, two or three times this week, you know, we're going to have times where we're together sexually, but especially one of those is going to be really special. And the last thing is this, the fifth thing is this, communicate and deal with sexual problems together. If you have sexual problems, deal with it, because most of us are going to deal with sexual problems, lack of desire or whatever. It could be chemical. It could be unresolved conflict. You know, you don't desire sex. It could be that there's conflict in our marriage, stress and fatigue, you know, whatever it might be. If you're having a problem with sexual desire, go to the doctor or go, if you need to go get counseling, you know, because there's an emotional issue. It may be past abuse. Sometimes people have been sexually abused in their past and it has a lot of problems related to your present. You need to get help for that. Listen, when you're having problems sexually, your spouse is being affected by that. And so don't strand your spouse sexually by not dealing with your problems, whether it's medical, whether it's emotional, whether it's whatever it is. If I've got a problem, I'm going to deal with my problem aggressively for the sake of our marriage.
Hey, this is Brent Evans with Exo Marriage, and I want to thank you for listening to the Marriage Today podcast. We believe your marriage has a 100% chance of success if you do it God's way. If you enjoyed today's teaching and want to keep learning, hey, subscribe to the Marriage Today podcast and take some time to leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word and can encourage someone else in need. For more great marriage content, check out exomarriage.com, where you can see all of our marriage building resources, articles, and live events.